So if the level of house sales is going down, have you ever been passing estate agents recently? They're lonely looking people in there, I can tell you. Some of them are saying they if they're lucky, they sell one house in the course of a week. Well, we can't feel too sorry for estate agents, obviously, but it is indicative of a wider problem. Because if they're not selling houses, then they're not going to build houses. And the house building market in a lot of countries, in Spain, in the USA, there's 250,000 building workers who have been made redundant since the beginning of the crisis. And if you're a building worker, you might think, I'm going to buy a car. If you're an unemployed building worker, you're going to think, I can't possibly afford a new car. So therefore, you're going to tick over one more year with your old banger, and that's going to have an effect on the car market, obviously. And you're not surprised to see that car sales have slumped. And so what seems like a mysterious crisis in high finance is having very real effect on ordinary people's living standards. It's bringing unemployment, it's bringing a fall in living standards. And this process that we've seen has just developed speed and has become an avalanche. We have two institutions that we don't have a direct equivalent of in Britain, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Sounds like a comedy turn, but it's serious. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were two government-supported enterprises that guaranteed people's mortgages. Now, they guaranteed 50% of the mortgages in the USA. Now, think about it. When the word started to come out that a lot of these mortgages were quite dodgy, the private mortgage people would say, go away, when people asked for their mortgages to be guaranteed, because they knew there was a very high chance they would not get their money back. Go and see Freddie and Fannie. So all the dodgy mortgages ended up on the books of Freddie and Fannie. And Fannie and Freddie, a couple of weeks ago, were effectively nationalised, and so the American government has charge of $5.3 trillion, that's million dollars in mortgages, out of 12 trillion mortgages. Not only that, but people have been betting, haven't they? They always do this. They've been betting on the on Fannie and Freddie and developing these financial bits of paper that are based on will this happen, will that happen, derivatives they're called. And they've got a particular form of credit default swap. Don't bother, really. I haven't got a Nobel Prize in maths, and the people who did have Nobel's Prize in maths didn't know what the hell they were doing either, so it doesn't matter very much. But these credit default swaps amount to $62 trillion. Now, I know this is telephone directory kind of numbers, but by way of comparison, that is more than the gross national product, if you can call it, of the world in 2007. There's 6.5 billion people out there. Most of them go out to work in some form and produce things. Collectively, last year they produced $53 trillion worth of wealth. The bets on Fannie and Freddie are worth more than the entire endeavour of 6.5 billion people. Isn't capitalism sensible? So that's what we're up against. We've seen this absolute avalanche of redundancies. And I would like to speak a little bit about this. The Republican Party, very right-wing, very laissez-faire, very to hell with you. If you can't support yourself, then we're not interested. This is the American way. You make your own luck, all that kind of thing. They have suddenly discovered that no longer applies. But all that neoliberal stuff, all that market fundamentalism, that was all rubbish. It was fine for the poor, It was great for the poor. When these people with subprime mortgages were being made homeless, living in cars, whatever they were doing, the government said, "Well, that's it, isn't it? This is stupid. They should have been a bit more careful with their money." But now the banks are in trouble. They're saying, "Well, we have to bail them out." And this bloke, Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary of the Republicans, is saying we need $700 billion. Now, obviously, if you go to the American Congress and say, "Look, we need $700 billion, in effect, what we're going to do is we're going to buy every single mortgage in the USA. We're going to socialise mortgages. You obviously would have a very carefully prepared plan, wouldn't you? Nobody's going to spend $700 billion without a very carefully prepared plan. Do you know what the plan looks like? It's 2.5 sides of paper. That's what he's presented to them at zilch notice. 2.5 sides of paper. And it's blackmail, isn't it? And it's not just blackmail by Paulson, because the financial markets the last couple of days are frozen. They're all waiting to see, is this deal going to come off or not? And there's Congress eyeball to eyeball with the Republican administration, and they're trying to stare each other down. My guess is that Congress is going to pass this $700 billion to bail out the bankers. But I think the fact of the matter is that this is not just blackmail by the Republicans, it's blackmail by big capital. They are saying, "We don't care what anyone else wants. We want $700 billion of the taxpayers' money, of poor people's money, of people who maybe we made homeless earlier on by giving subprime mortgages, of people who are unemployed as a result of our stupidity. We want their money, or else." That's what they're saying. And, well, we've got a presidential election, haven't we, going on at the moment. And Barack Obama says he's going to introduce health insurance. Well, sorry, he did until yesterday say he was going to introduce health insurance and do a lot of other good things. There's 50 million Americans with no health insurance. So it's quite important. So he now says, well, maybe we won't be able to afford to introduce health insurance. I don't know. Some of the things I've promised, I won't be able to offer. You have to ask yourself, what sort of democracy is this? Where before anyone has voted, the bankers have said, our $700 billion comes first. We don't care what the American people vote. We want $700 billion up front, and that means there's going to be very little money left for anything else. But that is the system that we're under. But it raises a number of other fundamental points. As I say, for the last 25 years, we've bombarded with this stuff about the markets are the only way. State intervention is inefficient. It should be done away with. Everything that moves should be privatised. Now they're nationalising everything. But this is not, of course, a conversion to socialism. It's just that markets don't work. When markets don't work, the rich want handouts. And they're determined to absolute get them. So what we've seen is the privatisation of profits and the socialisation of losses. And so the people, the American people in this case, are kindly being told, you can have all the losses, you can have all the loss-making mortgages, and in time the banks will sort them off their books and they'll be able to carry on making money as normal. And that's the situation. Now, also, we've had all this rhetoric from Gordon Brown and loads of other people about the wizardry of high finance. About the there are these masters of the universe. I think that's what Tom Wolfe called them in his book Bonfire of the Vanities. And the point about these is not that they wear red braces. I don't actually know whether they wear red braces anymore, or they snort too much cocaine. The point is these people are agents of capitalist system, and the capitalist system is a failed system. These people didn't know what have the foggiest idea what these bits of paper that they were selling people was worth or whether it was worth anything or not. They just completely irresponsibly pass them on. Now they've failed and they're blabbing at us like a load of hapless bums. So from Masters of the Universe, it's buddy, can you spare a dime? Or rather, buddy, can you spare $700 billion? And that is a fundamental transformation. Now, that's not socialism, that's obvious. But what it does show is that the whole excuse for what was good about capitalism has gone totally out the window now. These people were not the wealth creators. They were just playing about with bits of paper. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. They've got us all in a pickle. Now, I want to go back to ordinary people and the problems they get with the market system. I was in Eden Sainsbury's and I bought some rice, and I noticed that the rice came from Egypt. And a thought occurred to me, well, two thoughts. First of all is, they don't really eat rice in Egypt. As far as I know, the staple diet is bread. And the second thing is, there's been a lot of bread riots in Egypt recently. Even I know that. And if you think about it, what is happening is that is the logic of the market system. If you're a capitalist farmer in Egypt, the people who come in will say, why are we growing rice? We don't eat rice. We want bread. And the capitalist, if he's a proper capitalist, will say to him, well, I've got a very good market for this stuff in European supermarkets. They're prepared to pay me more than you. I understand that your family gets an income from you and they spend 60, 70% of it just on bread. And now the price of bread has gone up because, you know, there's all this inflation apart from these other problems about what's going on. Well, tough. My job is to make money. And that's the nature of the capitalist system. Now, what I'm saying is there must be a better way. This is a failed system. This is a broken system. This is a system which cannot offer people a decent standard of living, and it's out there for the taking if we organise ourselves effectively to see that. And I think, furthermore, that people are going to increasingly see that, because it could get worse. Could it be 1929? I'm not a betting man, but yeah, there's no reason why not. So therefore, we could have a terrible economic crisis. The parody is that Marxists rub their hands at the thought of economic crisis, hardship and things like that. That's not the case. Marxists will realise that in however horrible a form, capitalism will always climb out of a crisis, because the other thing that Karl Marx said when he set up the First International was the emancipation of the working class has got to be the work of the working class itself. But on the other hand, I do think people are going to be looking round a bit when they see what is going on in front of them and saying, there must be a better way. There must be a better way of people banding together to make their daily bread. There must be a better form of society. And there is a better form of society waiting for us, and that is a socialist form of society. So if you're not yet part of the Marxist movement, I'd ask you to join the Marxist movement. And I think together we have a better prospect perhaps than we had a generation to make significant steps in the direction of the socialist transformation of society.